If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to John chapter 15, 336 days from now, if my math is correct. Rather, if the calculator on my phone is correct. 336 days from now, 2023 will be over, and the new year of 2024 will be starting. It's true, there's a lot of unknowns between now and then. There's a lot that can happen between now and then. Things change. Things change drastically in even a second. Wow, how much they can change then in 336 days. Still, though, over these last few weeks, we have considered that day. We've sort of jumped ahead, as it were, to that day, 336 days from now, and anticipating a few minutes of reflection then. The year that is just beginning now, that will just be finishing then. Our thought has been to fill in the blank. 2023, a one-word description. 2023, a year of blank. One word to describe it all. 2023, a year of joy. 2023, a year of celebration. This year for our family, Christian will graduate. Jenny and I will celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. I will turn 50 and Jenny will turn 60 all this year. It's all going to happen this year. A year of celebration. A year of excitement. Maybe a year of transition. Who knows the changes that take place where at the conclusion of this year, looking back on it, reflecting on it. A year of transition. A year of change. No doubt lots of words that will fit, could fit, but my hope and prayer first and foremost, above all else, before anything else, the blank is filled with these three words. That's been our series of messages, three words. And I really do, I believe it. I believe it to be the Lord's desire for us. I believe it to be the Lord's call to us. To me, for sure, I've sensed it in my own heart before any of this was a Sunday morning message for you. I know with certainty, I know it with confidence. It was a personal message for me and then for you, for us together as a church family. The Lord's desire, His call upon our lives to make these three words to be the defining words. The words that do become 336 days from now, words that are the defining words of this year. The words that would identify for us our purpose, our pursuit, our passionate pursuit for the days to come. Above all else, before anything else, refusing to be distracted, refusing to be sidetracked, determined to do all it takes, whatever it takes, to fill the 2023 blank with these words. Closer. Jesus wants us closer. We need to be closer. And it's good for us to be closer. So we do. We do the things that get us closer to Him. And we do those things with this assurance. As we determine to get close to Him, He responds by determining, by doing the things that get Him closer to us. Closer. And more. We could think of it this way. Jesus wants us closer because Jesus has more He wants to give to us. More that He wants us to experience. More that He wants to reveal to us. More of Himself. More of His anointing. More of His Spirit. More of His power. More of His favor. More of His blessing. More of His goodness. And to experience that more from Him, there's the more that we need to live in. more of His Word, more obedience, more inquiring of the Lord, more seeking the Lord, more prayer, more fasting and prayer, more faith and faithfulness, more of our lives, more separated and set apart to Him, more following Him, more serving Him, more wholeheartedly, more devotion to Him, more sacrifice, more surrender, more maturing and maturity, more Christ-likeness, more careful in how we live, more understanding what the Lord's will is, more doing what the Lord's will is, more love, more submitting to one another, more considering others above ourselves, more ministry, more serving, more evangelism, more generosity, more wisdom, more thanksgiving, and on the list would go. Jesus has more for us. Jesus wants us to live in and experience the more, more and more and more of the more. So we make room for that. Truth be told, our lives are too full of all that's not that. Our lives are too full of the world. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. There's just too much of it still in us. There's too much self. There's too much the stuff that's taking up the more space. So we get that out, all that out, so that there's room for the more. And when we do, because His will is the more, and because we've made room for the more, the more is what we get. I believe it. I pray it. I declare it even over you and over me and over us together. All that He has more of for us, that's the more that we receive and that we experience this year. And all that, oh, may it be a year of increase for us. I pray that for you. More. A year of increase for you. I pray that for me. I pray that for my family. I pray that for New Life. Oh, wouldn't you agree it with me? Wouldn't you agree with me in prayer? More. We want the more. Jesus, we make room for the more that you're wanting to do and that you're wanting to give right here in this church family. 2023, closer, more. And this morning, we conclude our third word of the three, 2023, the blank filled with this, fruitful. Fruitful is to produce fruit. I like the word defined this way. It's to be abundantly productive. It's a good question. What would make this year to be that for you? What would you have to do? What would you have to accomplish? Think of it for a moment. So that 336 days from now, you would be able to, you would proclaim, wow, what an abundantly productive, what a fruitful year this 2023 has been. It's from the negative perspective, but it might help to bring further clarity. The opposite of fruitful, the opposite of productive are words like this. Of course, unfruitful, unproductive, but as well, unhelpful, unfavorable, barren, useless, worthless. So the question in that context then, what would you miss doing? What would you not accomplish that 336 days from now would make you to recognize the year as being that? What a contrast, right? Don't you sense it then? Really, in any area of your life? in your family, in any and all relationships, in your work, financially, in anything and everything? Don't you long for the abundantly productive year, not the one that's been useless and worthless? Not the one that has resulted in a barrenness in all those things. Can you imagine it? In the development of family and family relationships and closeness with family. Can you imagine it? This year has been useless. Oh no, no way would we ever want that. In work, in financial stability and security, in life, in preparing for whatever is next in life, in preparing, in living, in thriving in the current season of our life. Can you imagine it? There's no progress. There's no productivity. The year has been a worthless one. What a tragedy that would be, right? Especially in a spiritual context. I know you're right there with me. Oh, how I want, how we want our lives to be abundantly productive for the Lord. Don't you long for that? In service to Him, for His kingdom, for His glory. Isn't it your heart's longing, the desperate, desperate desire of all that's in you, summed up in this single word, fruitful? Isn't there a sense, even in our lives, we can go through a lot if we know, if we go through it knowing that through it all, God's doing something in us. God's doing something through us. Isn't that often our testimony? Wow, it's been a miserable season of suffering, but in it all and through it all, I've seen God working in my family. I've seen God doing this in my life. And all of a sudden, there's a sense of fruitfulness that through the experience, through the suffering, through the misery, there's been some fruitfulness that we're able to see that even makes it worthwhile. Maybe in some ways, makes us to say, I would gladly take the fruitfulness with the suffering over the no suffering, but the no fruitfulness. It's what we hold to, because within us is that longing, oh, to do for His kingdom, to do for His glory, to serve Him, to see in my life a fruitfulness for Him. What we don't want, what we don't want even more than we don't want anything else, how we dread, how we would cringe at even just the thought. Our lives, new life, us, you and me. Can you imagine it? Spiritually, for the kingdom, unhelpful, useless, worthless. Can you imagine it? The testimony of our lives, our influence, our impact for the kingdom, a barrenness instead of a fruitfulness. Oh, may it never be so. Never for you. Never for me. Never for us. Never, never, ever, never, never, ever, ever, ever for us. May it never be so. I pray it for you. I pray that you would be willing to do whatever it takes. I pray it for me. I pray it for us. I pray that we would do all that it would take so that in all things, in every area of our lives this year, there's a fruitfulness. And most of all, I pray it spiritually for you and for me, for us together as a church. May we this year, for Him, for His kingdom, for His glory, may we be abundantly productive. 2023, closer and more and fruitful, even like it's never been before. Let me share with you just a few thoughts this morning. First, we'll consider this, the warning. In John chapter 15 and verse 16, we read this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. It's the Lord's desire. It's the Lord's will. Really, more than that, it's the Lord's demand of his people that they would be fruitful. I have appointed you. Listen to the word of the Lord today. I have appointed you. I would call you each by name. Thus saith the Lord from his written word. I have appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. It's the Lord's desire. It's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's word to you today. And listen, here it is. The warning of Scripture is clear. Anything less than fruitful, anything other than good fruit, is not to be tolerated by the Lord. In the Old Testament, Israel was often represented, symbolized by the grapevine. The grapes, then their fruitfulness in being God's people, doing God's work on earth. The prophets will write of Israel as God's vine, carefully planted and carefully cared for. But they will write as well, ultimately, of the gardeners, of God's disappointment in the vine. Despite the care, it yielded only bad fruit, rotten fruit. Listen to this from Isaiah chapter 5. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up, cleared it of stones, and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it, cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now, you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Hear the warning. The result, the response of the gardener when the vine is fruitless, when there's no good fruit, only bad and rotten. Verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 5. Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its walls, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated. And briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. And then the clarification for this vine and vineyard talk. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, fruitful, the good fruit, but saw bloodshed, the bad, the rotten. He looked for righteousness, but heard only cries of distress. Hear the warning of Scripture, the warning that became the reality for fruitless Israel and for fruitless Judah. Anything less than fruitful, anything other than the good fruit, results in destruction. The hedge is removed, the walls broken down and trampled. Anything less than fruitful, anything less than the good fruit, and your life becomes a wasteland, consumed by briars and thorns, exempt from, excluded from the refreshing rains of his blessing. In Matthew 21, early in the morning, as he, that being Jesus, was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. Do you understand? Lots of leaves, lots of foliage, lots the appearance of a good fig tree. But in the end, no figs. In the end, no fruit. The tree is cursed by the Lord. Listen, Jesus wants fruit, not just the foliage. Listen to me. You who have lots of leaves, lots the appearance, of a good Christian. Good enough even to come to church on a Sunday morning with the weather and roads as bad as they are. Lots of leaves. Lots the appearance of the good. Listen, he comes to you this morning looking for the figs. Looking for the fruit. Do you understand the warning then? If he finds none in your life, how's he going to respond any different? Why would he respond any different than he did to the fig tree? One writes this, is not everyone who claims to be a Christian but does not bear fruit in awful danger of becoming a withered fig tree? So long as a person is content with the mere leaves of religion, with the reputation for being alive while in fact being dead, having a form of godliness but without the power, so long his soul is in great peril. Jesus pleased by the leaves of our lives? Blessing us because of the foliage? No way. Hear the warning of Scripture this morning. Jesus is angered. Jesus curses religion without substance, without the fruit. In John 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Listen now. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Do you understand? There's no doubt. There's no need for discussion. There's no question. There's no confusion. There ought not to be. Scripture is clear. The warning of Scripture is very, very clear. Fruitlessness is a problem. Bad fruit is a problem. It's the thing that disappoints God. It's the thing that angers God. It's the thing that results in God's judgment and God's punishment. It's the thing that results in broken down and trampled down walls. It's the thing that results in a wasteland. It's the thing that results in a withering instead of blessing. It's the thing that God does not, will not tolerate. It's the thing he cuts away. Later on in John chapter 15, the fruitless branch is thrown away into the fire, burned. The Lord's desire, the Lord's demand of his people, that they would be fruitful. According to John chapter 15 and verse 2, did you catch this? He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he applauds. He sets up on a pedestal. Wow, you've done a great job. You know what? Why don't you just coast until heaven time? That's not what it says. Instead, this, what does he do? The branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. The Lord doesn't just want you fruitful. He wants you more fruitful. Well, Pastor, I used to be fruitful. I've got a pretty long and good history of fruitfulness. That's not it. That's not enough. He wants you fruitful now. He wants you more fruitful now. Well, Pastor, I'm a little bit fruitful. Look, there's this and there's a little bit of that in my life. Listen, hear the word of the Lord today. It's not enough. He wants you more fruitful. This is it this morning. Anything less than fruitful, anything less than the good fruit, the gardener's response, the father's response, the warning. He cuts away that branch. So in light of the warning, the message is clear. It brings us really to number two this morning. We'll call it the encouragement. In light of the warning, hear the encouragement today. Simply this, be fruitful. For you whose lives are already evidenced by the fruit and the fruitfulness, the gardener's response, the father's response, maybe a little bit the warning still. Get ready for some pruning, because his desire, not just that you would be fruitful, but rather you would be more fruitful. Don't rest in your fruitfulness. Rather, prepare yourself for some pruning as you hear the encouragement today. Simply this, be more fruitful. This is our second point this morning. Let me share with you, though, two things here. First is this, it's the fruitfulness in you. So the encouragement, be fruitful. It's you. It's your life. It's your character. Your relationship with Jesus, your walk with Him, His Spirit and His Word at work in you. It's the fruit produced in you. It's the fruitfulness of your life by way of all that. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, we read this. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. One translation says it this way. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turn to God. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's the fruit in you. The evidence of your repentance. That's the fruit. The proof that you've turned to God and that you live for Him, that's the fruit in you. Having nothing to do with darkness, but rather exposing it as you live as children of light, living in goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what pleases the Lord, and always and only doing that. That's the fruit. That's the encouragement then this morning. Be fruitful in that. In John chapter 15 and verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's the fruit in you. All that would show you to be a disciple of Jesus, how you live, how you talk, how you think, how you respond, all of it, all of you, every aspect of your character, revealing that you are His. You're a disciple. You're listening to Him. You're a disciple. You're following His instruction. You're a disciple. You're obeying His commands. You're His disciple. You're following in His footsteps, dedicated to becoming just like Him. That's the fruit in you. No wonder the encouragement then this morning. Be fruitful. Let there be that fruitfulness in you. In Romans chapter 7, my brothers, you died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another, to Him who was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we've been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. This is the fruitfulness in you. No longer the sinful. No longer the death-bringing fruit. That's not what your life produces, not anymore. Instead, it's the godly. It's the way of the Spirit fruit. Galatians 5, it's love. That's the fruit being produced in you. Is there evidence of fruitfulness? Can I remind you the warning? If there's no fruitfulness, what the gardener does, how the Father responds. It's good for us to look into our lives this morning and see, is there the fruit in us? Is there the love? Is there still the sinful deeds, the works of darkness? Is there still the death-bringing fruit, or is there joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. The fruit that used to be produced in you shouldn't be anymore. You belong to Jesus. That sinful nature is dead, crucified, buried, cut away. You used to be a tree producing that kind of fruit, but now you've been changed. You've been made new. You're a Spirit filled tree producing Spirit-inspired fruit. We live by the Spirit. We stay in step with the Spirit. In Colossians 1, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father. That's the fruit. A life lived worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, strengthened in power by his glorious might. Endurance and patience, that's the fruit. Joyfully giving thanks to him. In Hebrews chapter 13, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do you understand? All that shows you've repented, all that shows you belong to God, that's the fruit in you. The goodness, the righteousness, the truth in you, that's the fruit in you. Not just your claim to be his disciple, but all that's a part of your life, all that would be the evidence in your life. Yes, you belong to him. You're following him, submitting to him, surrender to him, obedient to him, his word and his way and his will. You're living your life to please him. You're looking like him, living just like him. That, all of that, that's the fruit in you. Can I ask you this morning, is there that fruit? Is there the evidence of fruit in you? Is there the fruitfulness in you, the fruit of the Spirit, all of your life that's worthy of him, that pleases him, your praise and your worship, your testimony of his goodness, your declaration of his faithfulness? That's the fruit in you. Once more, hear the warning this morning. No fruit. Bad fruit. Listen. That won't be tolerated. Hear the encouragement then this morning. Be fruitful. Let there be the evidence of all the above. Let there be the fruitfulness in you. And still, our second point, still the encouragement. Let there be the fruitfulness through you. This speaks to our influence. Speaks to your impact for the kingdom. Listen, this is true. It's important that the kingdom of God grow in you, but you have to know it to be true as well. Listen, it is true as well. It's important that the kingdom of God grow through you. Both extremes can have their potential problems. But in the context of our message this morning, we have to recognize the problem that it would be. Listen. The problem that it would be even in this church. Too many Christians that care only about more of the kingdom for them without recognizing all around them are people outside the kingdom. Just for clarification, let me say it this way. Christians wanting more of heaven while all around them are people destined for hell. This is a problem. And this then is the reason for the encouragement. Be fruitful. Be involved. Do something. Help someone. Tell someone. So that in them, through you, the kingdom can grow. Once more, hear the warning this morning. No fruit. No fruit in you. No fruit through you. That won't be tolerated. Hear the encouragement then this morning. Be fruitful. Let there be the fruitfulness through you. I pray it for you. I pray it for me. New life for us. Oh, how we need this. How our hearts would surely be stirred in both the need and the longing for this. But fruitfulness. The evidence of fruit in us. Listen, be changed today. Stop the one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom business. Stop the darkness. Live in the light. No more the sinful, instead the godly, the true, the good, the righteous. The faithfulness, the evidence of fruit through us. Souls saved. Lives changed. Go tell someone about Jesus this week. Go and ask someone if they want to pray the prayer of salvation with you this week. Go and help someone. Go and make a difference. Go and give a cup of cold water to someone in His name. Do something. Tell someone. In John chapter 15 and verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. New life. No matter our heart's desire, how can we ever glorify Him if there's no fruit? Dear brother, dear sister, no matter your heart's desire, how can you ever glorify Him if there's no fruit? This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Hear me today, so that His kingdom might grow in you, so that His kingdom might grow through you, so that because of you, He might be greatly glorified. Be fruitful. Finally, this morning, the warning, the encouragement, and we conclude the instruction. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The instruction, so that you might be fruitful, it's simple. Abide in Him. One says it this way: producing fruit requires action, but it's not the action of frenzied spiritual activity. It's simply learning to abide in Christ. To abide is to stay, it's to continue, it's to tarry, it's to wait, it's to endure. To abide is to be present. Simply put, to abide in Him is to be present with Him. Let Him be present with you whenever and wherever. One says it this way: hour by hour abiding in Jesus means hour by hour trusting Him to meet all your needs and be all your treasure. Another writes, to abide in Christ means to keep up a habit of constant close communion with Him, to be always leaning on Him, resting on Him, pouring out our hearts to Him, and using Him as our fountain of life and strength and as our chief companion and best friend. Can I ask you this morning, is there for you that hour by hour kind of relationship with Jesus? Hour by hour trusting Him? Hour by hour He and only He all your treasure? Is there that close communion, always leaning on Him, resting on Him, pouring out your heart to Him, always Him, your fountain of life, your strength, always Him, your chief companion and best friend? That's what it is to abide in Him. To abide is to set your heart on Him, not momentarily because it's Sunday or devotion time. Abiding is your heart set on Him continually. Abiding is your eyes fixed on Jesus, enduringly fixed on Him despite all the distraction, all the other things that would attempt to get your attention, that would fight for your focus. Abiding is you, despite it all, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Abiding is your life consumed with Jesus, communion with Jesus, fellowship with Jesus, friendship with Jesus. Abiding is time spent with Jesus, focused on Him. Listen, this morning, that's the instruction for us in living fruitful lives, in bearing and producing fruit. abide in Him, depend on Him, prioritize Him, spend time with Him. And don't you understand? Don't you see it? As we begin to do that, the Lord will give us His heart for people. And that will translate in fruit being produced through us. Don't you get it? Don't you see it? As you abide in Him and you're spending more and more and more time with Him. And the truth of it, the one you spend time with is the one that you become like. And so more and more there will be the fruit produced in you as you're abiding in Him. In John chapter 15 and verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I've loved you. Abide in my love. Abiding in Him is abiding in His love for us. Let your love be consumed by how much He loves you. And then you, in response to His love for you, you love Him in return. The result of that, listen, as one writes, when we choose to focus on Jesus, self-interest dissolves into His interests, His desires, His way. We find ourselves fully where He wants us to be, and that's abiding in Him. This is the place where our desires melt into His desires. Pride or self-love becomes a broken idol, and the reality of being in and one with Christ begins in earnest. The abiding in Him results in a prayer life that's consumed by the Father's glory. Abide in Him, and you will see as your prayer life changes from Lord, help me, and Lord, bless me, and Lord, give to me, and Lord, do for me, and your prayer life will be consumed. God, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, no matter the road it puts me on, get glory from me. No matter the friend, no matter the embarrassment, no matter the discomfort, no matter the unknown, I freely take hold of it all, only but knowing this, that through it all, God, you are going to somehow, some way, get glory from me. As you abide in Him, that's what you want. That's all you want. Abide in Him, and that will be the thing you ask for. Even the only thing you ask for. God, your glory. Your glory. Abiding in Him results in prayer that's focused on bearing much fruit. Because according to Scripture, you already have the answer. How is the Father glorified? By you bearing much fruit. Your prayer becomes consumed then by, Lord, let there be fruit in me, and let there be the fruit produced through me, because my all-consuming desire is that you might be glorified through me. The results of praying like that, praying for that, John 15 and verse 7, if you remain in me, my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. You will ask for the fruit in you, and you will ask for the fruit through you. You will ask for the fruit because you'll ask for the Father to be glorified in you and through you. And do you see it? You will ask, and you will be given exactly what you ask for. You will be fruitful, and the Father will be glorified in and through you. One writes this, Jesus said, live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation is intimate and organic, and the harvest is sure to be abundant. Can I say it this way? Taking us back to the beginning, get closer, experience more, and the harvest is sure to be abundant. Get closer, experience more, and there will be a fruitfulness in you, and there will be a fruitfulness through you, even such as you've never experienced before. Father, I know I speak for me. I believe I speak for everyone in this room. That surely is our desire. That this morning, the longing of our hearts, the abundant harvest, the abundance of the fruit in us, and the abundance of the fruit through us. Lord, would you help us to hear the warning? Fruitlessness is not to be tolerated. This morning we repent of fruitlessness. Some of us recognizing this morning, we can't find the fruit in us. We don't see the fruit through us. We repent this morning. It's not to be tolerated. No excuse. No shrugging away the fruitlessness. We hear the warning. Unless we go the way of Israel and Judah, we respond rightly to the warning. As you have just a moment of prayer, would you just bow your head? Would you bow your heart? Let the Lord speak to you. What about it, brother? What about it, sister? What about the fruit in you? Is there not the harvest that there should be? Is there too much still of the sin, too much still of the world, too much still of the darkness? Is there no evidence that you're a real disciple of Jesus? I know you say you are, and I know you call yourself a Christian, but is there any evidence? Is there any fruit of you following after Him, learning from Him, pursuing Him, striving to be like Him? Would you let the Lord speak to you this morning? I believe it, that the Lord wants to produce some fruit in us. The Lord wants to produce more fruit in us. Listen, the Lord wants you to be more like Jesus. The Lord wants you to live more as His disciple. The Lord wants you to live more in the light. Would you respond to what the Spirit says to you this morning? The fruit in you. And would you pray it with me? Would you pray for yourself? Would you pray it for me? Come on, New Life. Would you pray and ask God that there would be a fruitfulness through us? Don't you sense the need? Don't you sense the urgency, dear church? Time is short. God, we need you to do a work through us. We pray for an abundant harvest. Come on, New Life, doesn't New Life need that? An abundant harvest. Can we call it the way it is without it being too hard or harsh? You sense it like I do. Too many wasted years. Too many useless years. Too many barren years. Too many doing nothing for the kingdom years. Unhelpful and unproductive. No wonder we pray, oh God, let there be an abundant harvest. Let there be a fruitfulness through us. Souls saved and lives changed. finally this morning, I don't know how you would do it. I don't know what it would look like for you. But would you commit yourself to abiding in Him? That's where it begins. We abide in Him, and from that abiding flows the life of fruitfulness. Lord, teach us to abide. Teach us to enjoy. Teach us to value Your presence. Teach us what it is to wait and to tarry. Teach us what it is to invite You. Wherever we are, wherever we go, to invite You and Your presence into our lives. Lord, I pray it for everyone in this room. I pray it for everyone who calls New Life their church home. I pray it for me. I pray it for Jenny. I pray it for our family. I pray that it would be the experience every Sunday and every Wednesday in this place. This year. Closer. More. And fruitful. May it be so, Lord, we pray. It's simple enough, but would you agree with me? And would you say amen in agreement? Amen and amen. I do pray it for us. Can you imagine? Isn't it true? A lot can happen this year. A lot can change. There can be a lot in this year. But 336 days from now, if we're gathered in this place, and one by one we come and we declare this to be our testimony, there was a lot this year. But I'm here to testify. This has been a year of getting closer to Jesus. Come on, can you imagine it? One by one, we come and we share our testimony. I can't explain it. There was a lot even of trouble. There was a lot of unforeseen things. A lot of I never wish would have happened things. But I'm here to testify 336 days from now. This was a year I experienced more of Jesus. And can you imagine? Listen, this place will look radically different if 336 days from now, it's our testimony, an abundant harvest, an abundance of productivity, a fruitfulness in us and through us like we've never experienced before. What a year this will be if those three words could become the three words for the year. I pray that they do. I pray that they become that for you. You pray they become that for me. We'll all together pray that they become that for us. And I pray the Lord's blessing over you. Would you stand so that you can receive that this morning? Would you extend your hands? I declare it over you. I'm the authority of God's word. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you. Bring you closer. Give you more. And produce in you a harvest of fruitfulness. And give to you as well His peace. In Jesus' name, would you receive that this morning by saying amen, amen, and amen.